Hello.
Hey, thank you. Hi there. I'm Quinn Nickel. I'm actually with the office division out of Redmond in Seattle. And with me, I've got Brian Shires and Keith Laborde from our deployment engineering team. I want to thank you very much for coming to this session. I guess between us and the reception, we hope that you'll come to the booth tonight. How many of you were in Tech Ed last year in Orlando? Fantastic. How many of you were at the office party last year in Orlando? A few? All right. Well, I just want to let you know that every one of you is invited to the office party this year. We have a great party on Wednesday night. If you come to the reception, just come to our booth. Let them know you're at the deployment session. They'll give you a wristband. It's Wednesday night, and it's at a club called the Maison Bourbon at the Bourbon Street. So you're all invited, so please come. Secondly, how many of you are actually running Office 365 today? Good show of hands. How many of you are thinking about it? And how many of you aren't really sure what Office 365 is? Oh, that's fantastic. There's a couple hands, but that's fantastic. So I'm just actually going to kick off the session. And what I want to do is just set a little bit of context before we get into the nitty-gritty of how we do Office 365 deployment. It's been a pretty busy year since last year we were here in Orlando. As most of you remember, last year we were still had the Office 2010 release that was broadly available. And since then, we released the new Office. You saw a little bit of that, I think, on the keynote today, some demos of the new Office. And of course, if you come down to the exhibit floor, we have all of the products running in the booth, and we can take you through the full scenarios, and hopefully you'll see it at some of the sessions. For this release of the new Office, we innovated really in four key areas. One of them is around devices. And really around devices, what we did is we really modernized our UI. We call it the fast and fluid experience. It's for the first time we've really embraced touch, and specifically on Windows 8 devices. You can also see that our UI scales from the very small screen all up to very large screens. The demo this morning in the keynote was done on a PPI screen, which is our very large sort of immersive display. And you saw the GeoFlow demo where you're able to use touch to actually go in and really drive insights into data. And that was all possible because of the new UI that we have. Secondly, we put a lot of investment into online. Clearly, you're here for the Office 365 deployment session. Cloud is obviously a very big bet for us. And some of the things that we did is clearly taking our services to enterprise-grade reliability. We've done a lot of investments in the back end and the infrastructure and scaling and supporting key standards. And more importantly, this is the first release of Office 365 that includes the Office client right in the service. We invented a new deployment technology for the Office client called Click to Run, and it's in the actual product called Office Pro Plus. That deployment technology is pretty innovative. It actually streams Office out from the service onto the PC and installs really in less than a minute, and you can be up and running. What really happens is it actually streams the client out, and your first run experience is under a minute. And then in the background, it'll stream the rest of the product. So from the user's perspective, it feels like it almost installs instantaneously, even though it takes a few minutes to obviously copy out the rest of the system. So everything we're doing around Office is really we're doing cloud first as we go forward, and you'll see that as we go through the next few years. Thirdly, we believe social is a key area to invest in for productivity. And with social, we're really talking about enterprise social, social in the workforce. That's a little bit different than what we think of as social in our personal lives, but it's just as important. And we look at social in the enterprise very holistically across email, across collaboration, across communications, and we build in really the capabilities across all of those products. And lastly, which I think is most important to you in this crowd, is IT control. IT control is essential if you're moving to online. And the reason for that is, even though we may be running the service, you still need to stay in control and manage it. Manage your data, manage your users, manage your security, all aspects. And we really designed the Office 365 service so that IT would still be in control and could manage the service. And so we continue to innovate in that area. So from a deployment perspective, this is an interesting area. We've been doing on-premise software for many, many years, multiple decades. I'm sure you've all been managing Microsoft software for a long time as well. And there's a typical release cycle that we have in our company where we release the software, you know, every sort of 3 years on average when it's on-premise. And there's a cycle that we've built around that that you've come to expect, you know, right from the early adopter versions that you can try, you know, preview versions, right to betas, all the way to RTM, and then, of course, post-RTM and service packs and fixes. And when you actually go to deploy our on-premise software, a lot of you are upgrading from previous versions. And typically what you need to do is you've got to build out the new system before you can actually go and test it. So there's usually you build it out, then you go through a testing process, you do a regression testing, your compatibility, and then you can start to actually roll out to your first set of users, make sure they're okay, and then you can go through the rest of the process for the rest of the organization. And you guys probably all have something that's similar to this. The words might be a little different, the time frames might be a little different, but it's kind of the same cycle all the time that we go through. And when we look at online, we realize that online is different. And one of the reasons it's different is because the service is already built. We've already built the service and tested it, done all the regression testing, it's running, and it's ready there just to be consumed. So when we come along with a new release, so in February when we released the new version of the new Office, on that date, 2/27, our service was ready to be consumed by all organizations. It didn't require, you know, any additional testing. Now, that doesn't mean that you may want to do some testing, of course, in your own environment, but the service itself is built and running and ready to go and ready to scale. And so looking at that, we decided, hey, there's got to be a different way to be able to take advantage of that and provide more value to our customers. So we came up with a new approach. And like all new approaches, you got to have a cool marketing name for it. So if we would have just called it deployment guidance, it would have been kind of boring. So instead, we got a fancy term. We call it Office 365 Fast Track. And the reason we chose that name is because one of the key elements in moving to online is the ability to move quicker and faster. And for organizations, if you can move quicker and faster, you can realize value sooner in your organization. You know, there's some organizations, and you may be able to relate, that may start their rollout of their software, and it might be 2 to 3 years before they're actually finished when they're done. And by that time, you know, we've shipped another release, then we always, you know, it's the same story. We come and we, you know, go to the customer and say, oh, the new release is out. You know, or you come to TechEd and you see it. And then it's going to be another 2 to 3 years as well. And a lot of customers will actually even just skip a release because it's just too much work all the time to go and do every single release. And they, in effect, they lose the value of our software. They, you know, they purchase it, but they don't really get the value of it because it's hard to stay on that train and keep upgrading and upgrading. So with the service, we can change that because, A, the service, we do most of that work on the back end. And then secondly, you'll be able to, we're going to release in a way where you're not waiting 3 years for the new software. What happens is for when we've announced this publicly, for going forward for Office, we're moving to a yearly release cycle or yearly release cadence for our products, which means you will expect updates from us, our new features introduced on a yearly basis, and we're even going to do it on a quarterly basis, and there'll be some updates even on a monthly basis. So you'll be able to see more value, more innovation from the service more frequently as you go along. Now, of course, the first thing IT asks is, hey, that's a lot of change, isn't it? How am I going to deal with that with my end users? And of course, we've thought about that, and we're building in the controls for you to be able to manage that change for your end users. So we don't expect to just land new features every month on end users. It's very hard to adopt. So this fast track approach really is kind of a three-step process that we look at. So if you're new to online, let's say you're just moving online, this is a typical process you might go through. So the first thing is you want to generally sort of kick the tires, get to know what can it do for me? And rather than having to go through and do a lengthy deployment just to find out what it can do for you, you know, there's no reason that you can't just use the service almost immediately. So we have this step, we call it a pilot. I know a pilot can mean different things to different people. In our case, we really think of the pilot as being a trial. So in other words, you can get it up and running in your organization. It's not fully integrated with your environment, but you can get up and running and you can actually get functionality and you can try out all of the features in the product. So the whole idea is that this allows you to really just test out all of the features in the product if you want. Then secondly, after you've done your pilot, we think of maybe 25 users or so being in the pilot stage. We can move into a deployment stage. Now, deployment doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to do a full-scale deployment, but what it does mean is that you can move into a production environment and actually use the service so it's integrated into your environment. So the most typical example is mail. You know, if you have your corporate, your organizational ID, mine happens to be quinn@microsoft.com. If I'm in the pilot stage, and you'll see this in a minute in the demo, in the pilot stage, I would actually keep that mailbox on my on-premise server, and I would actually then be able just to route that mail into my pilot. But when I move into stage two, deployment, I would actually be able to have that as my mailbox in the cloud online. So it's a fuller integration for your users, and you can actually scale up and put as many users as you want in step two. And then we have this third phase that we call enhance, which is really the idea of getting more value out of the 365 service. So it's all about if you're doing a custom internet, for example, or you want to integrate LOB systems, or you want to go and do, you know, a much more deeper level of customization or integration. And that's kind of what the enhance phase. So really the approach is to do this three-step phases. And the idea is we are doing a lot of engineering investments into the product to make all three of these steps easier as we go forward. So if you think about integrating your identity system, for example, you may have your identity system today. If that's really complicated, that might be in step three. It might require a lot of integration. But we're doing, you know, as we do a lot of our engineering investments, we're going to move some of that complexity into the product where we engineer it out, and then it would move into a step two phase and even possibly into a step one phase. And as Keith and Brian go through, they'll show you which features that we're actually working on right now actively as we integrate them. So this just gives you a little bit more detail into what I was talking about with the different steps. And the nice thing about this approach is we're using the fast track approach for all workloads. So whether it's Exchange, Link, SharePoint, Yammer, or Office Client, which is Office Pro Plus, it'll work for all workloads and any additional workloads. So we're just going to have one methodology, one approach, and one set of tools and resources to go support it. So simplifying, I think, will be great. And we'll be able to actually support yourselves in a much deeper and richer way. So one of the reasons that we really wanted to do this was I talked about sort of getting the time to value or the business time to value, being able to, you know, use the latest features and unleash them sooner on your end users so they can actually realize the value. But the other thing that we liked about it is that we wanted the effort that you do to always accrue up to actually a full production deployment. So if any of you have gone through sort of proof of concepts or just, you know, efforts where you would go and wanting to test out to see what the deployment would be like, you build up an environment, you spend maybe 12 to 18 weeks, it could vary, you end up doing a lot of work, you end up doing all the testing, and then you usually have to tear it down, right? And that's fairly typical in a lot of environments. And then you go and actually start the real deployment. So what we're doing with our approach is when you start right with the pilot, you can move the pilot all the way into production, and then you can actually then move that from production into even like the full integration and customization. So we wanted to make sure there was no throwaway work at all. Any work that you do actually accrues up all the time. The other thing that we wanted to do was give our customers a lot more choice around how they actually do their deployment. We also learned with a lot of our customers that were moving online that we assumed that they maybe wanted to do the sort of the full custom integration with fully managed, you know, migration for everything. And it turns out that a lot of them didn't really want to do that. There's lots of cases where they would say to us, hey, I don't really need to move all my data over in mail. You know, in fact, if anything, I'd like not to move my data over in mail. You know, and then there's other cases where they said, hey, I don't mind moving it over, but I'd like my users can do it on their own as long as we just automate it for them. We don't need to do it all in a managed way. So we actually have introduced quite a few more options for deployment and onboarding that give you a lot more flexibility around how you do it. So that was just kind of a little bit of the context for why we decided to develop a new approach. We know that, you know, there'll be many, many, many customers that are going to be moving to online over the next, you know, 5 to 10 years. We're very committed to this approach. It's not something that will change, you know, next year when we come back or the year later. We're making substantial engineering investments into the product to make sure that we continually to make this approach better. And I'm going to turn it over to Brian and Keith to actually take you through the real detail and go through some demos.
Thanks, Quinn. So I've seen what Fast Track is and defined how we think about Office 365 deployment. We're going to take a look at how that actually works. So we'll go through each of these steps. We'll spend the most time in the deployment phase, thus the name of the session, but I wanted to give you a quick view of pilot. So let's get started here. So what's really in pilot? Quinn gave us a quick view that It's providing you the entire service quickly, and how do you get users up and using the service? And then during deployment, we'll make sure the work we do in this first phase is something you can sustain. We don't want that idea of build it up and tear it down and start all over. So in the pilot itself, we're going to enable you to get started very quickly. So day one, be up and running with your pilot users. So that's the term we'd find here. So that the user's on a trial, easy to get started. But it's not just, we're not just saying, get an identity up or just get mail up. But rather think of it as, hey, this is my entry point into the full E3 suite that they can get started with. And as much as possible, making it for those of us, all of you who are IT pros, how do you provide the service to your end users and let them start using, and you start gathering that feedback of, hey, here's what we like about the service. You kind of open the gates and help them get started using the service. And again, what we do here is very much then sustained going forward. So kind of important stuff is, well, that's great. They're not going to have to totally restart. So we want them to actively put content into their SharePoint sites that we have on 365. We want to sustain that forward. Some of the important pieces here, as we set up the tenant, we want to make sure that, hey, this is the tenancy. When we start in this process, we're actually making that selection for the long term. So again, we want to just reiterate that. We want to put you on the path that so you start once and you just continue to grow. And the service is going to support that. And our process is going to give you those capabilities to kind of grow into it, add features, add users, add integration as we go. So what does the pilot actually look like? We wanted to keep the on-premises requirements to get started with a pilot very minimal. So some of the stuff here is, hey, we made the decision the best thing for you to do to get started is just start with the default domain. So we don't want to go start the process of the red tape to go get a bit of DNS registry changes done day one. Hey, you can actually start with our on Microsoft default domain. We can help you transition that later. So there's no reason to take all that work up front and take delays. Not necessarily that hard to do technically, but maybe a lot of approval time to get done. And then from a mail perspective, finding a way for those users to not just start with they obviously start with a blank inbox, but that's probably not going to be a very good experience for them. To actually be able to use the service, they need their own data. So that includes mail, that includes SharePoint content. So bringing all that forward. And then from a client perspective, Quinn touched on this with Office 365 Pro Plus. We have the ability to stream it, do side by side, give you that option, but you also have the ability to do web client only experience as well. So that's actually, I think, the best way to explain this. Let's go through a quick demo, show you what this functionality looks like firsthand. So here we bring it up. I'm actually going to start from our Office 365 Fast Track site. So if you haven't seen it, fasttrack.office.com. You'll hear it a few times in the session. As we talked about, this is a three-step process, easy enough to get started. So I just, you go home, hey, how do I start my pilot? It's going to guide you through this process. I'm going to highlight a few things, and we'll get into the service. Things you really need to be aware of is, when I sign up, as I said before, you're signing up for something that we expect you to sustain going forward. So, important guidance here of, hey, think about what you're going to name your tenant. There's some impacts here. Had lots of service calls wanting to change names, delete names. Important, think this one through before you name it. From a mail perspective, I can change that domain. Certain aspects here from a SharePoint or link perspective, as we note here, that you want to take note of. And then we're just going to lead you through the process to add users and ultimately get going. So let's just start in the admin console to begin with.
And while he's pulling that up, hopefully you can see from the fasttrack.office.com site, we've really simplified the interface and put everything there in one place, so you're not having to go and dig around in numerous different places, and it's all there, and you're able to see kind of what the appropriate steps are for each of the individual phases.
Exactly. That's the idea here. I'll say it throughout, as Quinn noted, making the engineering investments to make this all fit together. So we tell you one process, you'll see this kind of throughout. Just to reiterate, hey, where we start, I just created my tenant, and here I go. I'm going to, for this rest of this demo, we're going to be Contoso 104 Cloud. So, well, we have a whole pool of these, but call me Contoso. And I'm just going to start with that. What we can later on is step two deployment. We'll show you how to transition that into an own namespace, i.e. to Contoso.com. But we don't need to do that right away. The only other thing we've done, we simply loaded up users. When you start in the pilot, you don't need to go start with DuraSync. There's certain things we'll talk in deployment of what that looks like. You don't have to start in a very quick manner. Just come to the portal, add cloud identities. Start with cloud identities. Great place to get going. Again, we can help you transition those users forward. So I can start with a cloud ID and turn it into a synced ID later on. No reason to take a big, heavy project on just to pilot up and running. So what that actually looks like for an end user, I'm going to switch over to a client machine. Here we go. So I'm currently a user. Let's full screen this for you. So my current user is up and running. Here we are. And he's running out 2010 today. He's on Exchange 2010 today. That's great. He receives an email to get started. So we're going to, in the pilot, in that fast track site, we've given you content as IT to really help facilitate this from end to end. Not only the guidance, but okay, now I need to tell users to get started. So we give you these templates. Here we go. Todd's received his notification. Hey, you're ready to go. Go get started in the pilot. He has his credentials and kind of gives him the lay of the land of, hey, here's how to get started. Here's how to log on. Here's how to get your mail in the service. Here's how to start taking advantage of some of those other features. And we'll continue to invest in that to give you those resources to not only get the technical steps there, but also help your users be successful, help you provide value to your end users. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and close Outlook here. And I'm going to follow those instructions. And I've already logged on to the service. When the user logs on, how many of you have seen this Wave 15 Office 365 get started interface? Nice way to get started. Brings you in, helps, I guess, reinstill for the user. Hey, here's the things I can do. That template guidance gave the same instructions. First thing I want to do is I want to get started with mail. It's probably the most important thing for a lot of people coming to the service. So he's going to click over in Outlook. It's going to load up. When he first goes to Outlook, it's going to be a blank inbox, right? We just started blank a cloud identity user, created them first time. So no smoke and mirrors. We just created this guy. Let's be somewhere nearby. We'll, out of sheer habit, we'll be in Pacific time zone. So we can get connected here. He's going to come in that getting started info. We told him, here's how to get yourself up and running. A blank inbox isn't very useful, right? I can't really work in there. What I need to do is make my stuff be here. So how many of you have heard of the feature of connected accounts in Office 365? Few hands there. So connected accounts allow us to, hey, you have that Exchange 2010 on-premises server running, or 2007, whatever it may be. We can actually connect to that, and we can actually share that mail over to the service. And not only am I going to share the mail, I'm also going to be able to have mail flow, i.e. this user in using Office 365 is going to be able to send and receive mail just like with the same email address they're used to working with. So again, this is Todd. His name was Todd Meadows, so Todd M at Contoso104. That's our company name. He simply, helps if I get a little trigger happy there.
And some of the biggest reasonings for us adding connected accounts is we heard feedback. It was great to trial the service. You get to see the UI, but until I can see my production mail and my production environment, it's really not as meaningful as it could be. So I think that's the key reason that this was added to the service.
So all the end user had to know is what their email, current email is. So same way they probably authenticate to the current mail. What's going to spin here for about a minute? It's going to reach out to our server. Essentially taking that domain, going to find an MX record, be able to find the mail server and set up a connection. While it finishes that, we don't need to watch paint dry. We can look at, as Quinn said, hey, it's not just one piece of the service, right? We have the entire service available to us. So we want to drive that same perspective. Users can start with mail, but let's actually give them the capability to do all the different components. And we'll wait. Here we go. I'll log on one last time. So one thing we can do is, as the Getting Started dialog helps us, I can do all of my things online. Right? I get my mail. I get Office web apps. The other piece is I can go ahead and set up PC and Mac installs straight from the browser. So this is Office Pro Plus. Oop, there was the pop-up, and I think I actually clicked on it accidentally. We'll come back to that in a minute. So you can see here, to get installation going, this end user simply needs to come to the portal and click install. I've already done this for this user because we don't have a lot of time to let that happen. But from an end user self-service perspective, those users can start the installation. Sessions later this week, we'll talk about how to do managed installations in the step two deployment. We'll take care of that and get things up and going. So remember, I had Outlook up and going. I can have, now if I go back to my start screen, you notice here I have both PowerPoint 2013 and PowerPoint 2010. So side by side, it streams down from the service. You didn't have to push this out. Applications are up and ready to go. So the other important piece of this is, getting the point of, adopting all the services. As you notice here, once that user's got those applications installed, the promoted save to locations, if I go save as, just this document, my default locations are actually tying me back to the cloud. So it's helping your users start using the full suite of services. Again, they can save it to the computer if they wanted to, but it gives you that full range of capability, right? So let's go back to our connected accounts. Let's refresh, hopefully. So you can see here that dialog, which I clicked on quickly, is set up the connection. That user's mail is starting to download. It's using an IBAP connection to download, so that's very, very min bar for mail systems to be able to connect. So we can say Exchange, other mail platforms as well. You can see there, it went from an empty mailbox to, hey, there's the mail. The same mail that was on my on-premises mail system, here it is in my inbox. I can send out new mails, and I'm going to be able to send mail as my corporate credentials. So I don't believe I actually set that as my default. If I come in and do new mail, let's go back to options. You can see here in the recommended settings is that we'd actually have you be able to maintain that where the default reply address is. You can see here now I can actually make my default reply address the same email that I was working from. So I can immediately come over here. I still have my on-premises mail if I want to. Everything's actually passing through there and connecting up. But I can send mail out of the service today and have it immediately go out as my corporate credential. So that's a quick view of some of the things I can do in the pilot. Everything we can do in SharePoint, SkyDrive Pro, all that goodness, as well as the link. It's all available here day one. And that's exactly the idea, is let users be able to get started right away. We put content in the service. We'll be able to transition that going forward. So kind of recap, hey, what did we actually do in the pilot? What does that pilot look like? There's a few other options you can consider. I've highlighted here kind of what's that mainline path that we actually walk through. So one, for a pilot, getting started, you're going to start with a cloud identity. From a migration perspective, we go down the path to help you be efficient in the pilot is go self-service route and use connected accounts. There's plenty of other options. Our recommendation is this. We want to, in the fast track site, you'll see us say, hey, there's a few other things to be aware of, but our recommendation for most people starting the pilot, go this path. For your first 20, 25 users, great place to get started, get some experience being able to do that quickly. And from the source system perspective, kind of wherever you're coming from, we should have added O3, could have added Notes. As long as we can get IMAP or even POP connectivity, I can do this connected account approach to pull it over. It's pulling mail over is what we're pulling over. So with that, we're going to spend quite a bit of time actually deploying, as our session's about. So let's look at what's happening in deploy. So everything we did in the pilot stays in place. We're going to help you make that transition, but we're going to do that much more quickly than there was a lot of you raised your hand and said, I'd already deployed Office 365. We're going to do that, and we're making the investments here to make that happen faster with richer integration. So from the pilot, we started, hey, very lightweight integration, pulled some content over, got you started with some users. Now as we move into deploy, it's important that, hey, we now know when you're deploying, you want to have deeper integration to your on-premises environment. That means integration into identity from your on-premises AD. So we're going to help you make that transition. We're just going to help you, one of the fundamental things is, okay, now's the right time. You've figured out what I can do with the service. You like what you see there. Your users like it. Now I'm ready to go through those approvals to get domain ownership. I want to make, no longer am I, contoso.onmicrosoft.com, but rather I want to be known as, my identity to be known as contoso.com. So we're going to go through that and enter the shared namespace phase of the project. The other approach here is, very much transition those pilot users. We started as cloud IDs. We'll help you move them into a synced ID, and it's totally supported, an approach that we definitely recommend. So don't delete and start all over, because I would have lost any data those users put into the SharePoint. Rather, you're better off to just do a couple of small steps, transition your users, and move forward. From a migration perspective, and really comment on mail migration, we looked at this quite long, and Keith's team and lots of engineers thought this over, and we tried saying, hey, there's one path to this. And the reality is, it matters where you're coming from, and it matters what your end goal is. And so we actually have a tool we'll look at in a moment that helps you even make this decision, helps guide you down the right place based on your source system, based on what you want to do. We'll guide you down. But kind of at a high level, we think about it in a step two deployment for Exchange or Exchange 2013. The approach would be you use a hybrid managed mailbox move approach. In Exchange 2007 or 2003, we're talking about doing stage mailbox migration. It's default. And we'll show you there's a few different decision points there, and we have some guidance to help you make those decisions. And then other platforms, we always have IMAP options, PST options. They're always on the table. From a collaboration, this is a piece where you start getting into some of the initial SharePoint configuration. You know, think of how we're going to do site governance and things of that nature. And then this is the switch where we make, hey, in the pilot, we said, well and good, let end user self-service from the portal installations happen of Pro Plus. Here we make the switch and say, okay, you want to deploy the new Pro Plus. This is the time when you make the switch and say, hey, we're going to do a managed deployment of that new Office. So we can take that new cool click-to-run streaming methodology and help you actually do that deployment through your on-premises software distribution network. So we'll walk through a few scenarios, and then we'll look at some of the investments we've made to make this happen. So first point up a scenario where a lot of people, by pure numbers, might be, say, running on-premises 2003 or 2007 Exchange. You have some decisions to make here, but in deployment, the first decision I make is, hey, we want to be clear, and Quinn noticed before, we don't want to assume you must have a certain type of solution. You can choose to say cloud identity. We're fine with that. You might be fine with that. So always consider that. There might be a recommended path. Is there actually this easy option applicable to you? So in this case, we're going to say, hey, I'm going to deploy, but I'm actually going to choose to just continue to use cloud identities. I'm going to go ahead and keep cloud identities, but I'll turn it into a shared namespace. And it gives you a wealth of options for bidding how I want to migrate self-service. I can do PSTs, or I can use IT approach using built-in service IMAP migration, or a PST import tool to actually do a managed migration for those users. Okay, same starting scenario, but you say, no, really, I want to just make one place for managing my users, and that's AD, and I want to synchronize that. So again, what will help you make that transition, take those pilot users, we'll set it up a shared namespace, so we'll turn it into contoso.com, transition those users over, but then In this phase, we'll set up synchronized ID and this cool little thing called password sync, which we'll look at in a minute. So we'll start getting that an easy path to getting same sign-on with this approach here in step two. So kind of a tip of the hat of, you know, some of the engineering investments being made to make this happen in a matter of days, whereas in the past that might have taken you a little longer to do. And then from this approach, because we're coming from 03 or 07, there's a unique migration component built in the service called stage migration, only available for Exchange 2003 or 2007 only. That's definitely the approach you take. Well, listed up here, hey, if you're less than 1,000 seats on your on-premises environment Exchange cutover is always an option. For most customers we find that are having this discussion, you're probably more than 1,000 seats. So we optimize it for that. If you're Exchange 2010 today, great. I'm very happy to see you're there. If you're 2013, even better. But we get to that approach, you still have this first option. You don't have to go do their sync. Again, keep your mind open. Really think through, you know, what level of integration do I need? Maybe Cloud Identity is fine. And then it gives you some basic migration options. I can switch it and say, no, thanks, Brian. What I really want is to do synchronized identities for my on-premises. Just like we did in 03 or 07, that identity piece stays the same. But you can look here. I can say I want to do IT-driven. And our approach actually changes. Here, if you're running Exchange 2010, and there's a should be a big asterisk here or fireworks or something, hey, that requires you for the new service to be Exchange 2010 SP3 to get to a place where you can do a hybrid configuration. And really thinking of hybrid configuration not as a, you know, long-term coexistence, but that's the optimal migration mailbox move service we have for you if you're on that platform. It's going to make it very easy to move those, set up batches, move them over in Exchange 2013, even better. Well, you know, I didn't call out hybrid as an option in step two deploy for anybody in 03 or 07. By design, that means you're adding lots of servers to your environment, a lot more time. That's where we say, hey, that's a separate discussion. We really want you to think of, you know, if you're on those prior versions, we have a solution for you. Use Stage, use IMAP, use cutover type of solutions. So from just a recap, what is deploy about? It's one, sustain and transition your pilot users, right? So everything I did there, I want to move forward. And very much ask yourself, what are those options to meet that you really need? So you know, we wanted to, you know, we were somewhat guilty of this as well. I think everybody was. Hey, I want to get, you know, I want all the features implemented day one. Do you really need that? What are your users looking for? Are, you know, they want to be able to start doing SkyDrive Pro day one? Well, let's find the best way to get you there. And then, you know, leverage stage migrations or a hybrid to help you get there. And then you'd always have that option to add features over time. That's an important piece. The thing we're being very aware of is, you know, we want to make sure the paths we put you on have ways to grow up, to grow on, you know, both from the features you have. We know the service continues to evolve as well. There's new stuff that will continue to come in. Make sure we're not putting you in a spot where you're not going to be able to move forward readily. So kind of key decision points for you here. You know, what's the identity type? Do I want to do Cloud ID? Do I want to do Synced ID? What's that namespace I want to do? And then picking your appropriate migration approach. So let's we said, hey, that means to make all this happen, we have to change things in the service. So let's look at a few of those things firsthand and what those are. How do we get to this earlier to set up, earlier to realize what your users are looking for? We'll look at these broken into about five different elements today. So the first one is just the setup tool itself. So we've taken it in the past, and in Wave 14 you had some basic navigational elements to help you do setup. We said, hey, what we really need to do, we kind of touched on this, is we want to be able to help users find their way in a little bit more meaningful way. because not everybody has the same starting point. And this is thus the idea of, hey, a tailored guidance to fit your path. And that's what OnRamp is, or pardon me, that's what Fast Track does. And then we hand off to, hey, we're in a service. Can we actually start asking those questions? But we don't want to just tell you, hey, here's the path. Good luck. We want to give you a tool then that shows you the path and then gives you a way to systematically verify you're actually tracking to that path. So let's have a look at this setup. So I'm first going to, before I start there, we'll start it from where we always begin, from the Fast Track site. So this is in deploy. So how do we get started? So I'm going to before you again, very much this idea of, hey, we're going to convert your users. First thing we're going to do is set up your domain. So this is assumption here. We're going to go to shared namespace. So everything we're going to move on and then help you transition to those users. And then beyond this, this is where it really it starts to depend. And this is where we take dependence on the new Office 365 setup. And so I'm going to go ahead and jump straight into this. So if you just jump out to here, you can also get to this. If you saw it sign in as an administrator, you'll see that prior screenshot from the setup screen. I can jump in. I'm going to go to a VM because I want to be able to execute this stuff against a live Contoso 104 environment. So I'm actually logged on to my my Exchange box at Contoso 104. I've actually taken that first step. Let's go ahead and start moving. Let's go ahead and go down and to click that from here. We want to run it in this environment. So I'm going to get my friendly IT friend to get me started. I've already signed in as the Office 365 tenant administrator. Probably you're going to get prompted there. So it already remembers my choices I made before. So this will be go a little quicker, but just kind of awareness of why these things are already picked the way they are. So I'm doing 365, so you can imagine this type of framework applying to other Microsoft Cloud services in the future. Hey, I'm going to do all the workloads, so I'm going to go ahead and continue on through here. And then we get to that one of those decision points we brought up. Hey, what do you want to do about user management? And our recommended approach for deploy is the one we have picked here for sync. You can certainly fall back, and I'm going to go and just continue with the synchronized IDs. And now it comes up to, hey, this is, how do I tell you what path you should do? How do you should you migrate? Now we're going to start asking, hey, where are you coming from? So I'm going to just go and leave 2007 for this the sample. And lastly, hey, you sure you want to do this yourself? If so, continue. If not, right here is where we'll jump off and get partner help if you need it. So we'll continue. You notice I'll go ahead and install this every time I run it because we want to do the system checks, this ActiveX control that gets installed just for this session runtime. But what those selections did is actually says here, I've got a readiness set of readiness steps ready for me. So taking all those things and said, hey, he wants to do synchronized ID. He wants to come from Exchange 2007. Here's how we recommend doing this. So this lays out your high-level project plan. Hey, here's the things you're going to need to tackle, right? I need to prepare for a productive synchronization. I need to set up DuraSync. I need to make sure that's all running. I need to then, from a mail perspective, think about configuring stage migration. That's great. I have the guidance here to help me get going. But this is the part where, okay, I might start in that path. I'll follow this guidance, but how do I know I'm actually doing these things correct or doing them correctly? So I'm going to come back, and our guidance will tell you, use these things iteratively. So I'm just going to say check again so you get to see what it looks like. So it's going to run a set of system checks. Hey, based on that configuration I had, how does your environment look? Are you ready to go? Is everything actually configured correctly? So I'm going to just give it my 365 set of credentials, if I can recall them. I haven't added the full domain to that. But I typed it correctly. And we'll get the checks going. So this is the point of, hey, Brian can't type. Don't just tell you, you know, here's some documentation, good luck, but rather, hey, we'll give you that path, here's some documentation to help you, and let's help you make sure as you do those different steps along the way that you actually did all of them correctly. And fingers crossed, and there we go. So it's going to reach out, make sure, you know, and we can drill into these different set of steps and see what it actually checks. But taking the knowledge we have, hey, here's the things we need to make sure work. It's in this service descriptions. It's in our old Microsoft Online Deployment Guide. You had to go find all this before. And now we're saying, hey, those are all the things. These are all the requirements for the path you're trying to do. Let's make sure they all work and be able to check on those ourselves. So it'll take just a minute to go through all the different workloads, because we said do all the workloads. You can see it's doing things like checking DNS records. It's checking under users and groups. It's checking them to see what's the hygiene of my local on-premises AD. I ran this as a local admin on the ChangeBox, so it got to do lots and lots of things. So it runs under the context in which the tools run. So that kind of explains how it was able to do these things. Let's go ahead and take a look at domains. Why did that fail? Well, domains failed because I haven't done anything with domains yet, so it's an expected fail. Like, I haven't set up my text record to prove ownership of the domain. So, well, okay. But this is great. I go do that. We give you the, registry provider guidance. Did I actually get it right? The tool is actually going to do that check for you and, you know if you got it right away, not have to guess and wonder, like, wow, is my error actually caused by that or is it something else? Let's look at another example here. We'll get into the users and groups. Maybe we will. Over on the right side, some of the other things that it provides to you for each and every step is a set of resources that, you know, here for the particular issue item. I can get in and see, you know, direct links to the content that's relevant to that check to help me try to resolve it. Let's try that one more time.
Hopefully you can see the key term here is really deployment on your terms. So everything is configurable. You can go back in and rerun the checks. You'll be able to kind of understand where those particular areas failed. And then the important part here is we give you guidance of things that you can go and look at to see why it failed. Not just, oops, it failed, you know, try to figure it out. But we'll give you step-by-step guidance on things that you can use to proceed forward.
Okay. So while it thinks about this for a minute, the next item I was going to show you that failed was, hey, my users and groups, if you remember on the last screen, as you can't see now, was red. And there's a reason it's red is because it's simply going to say, hey, some of your objects don't meet the requirements of Office 365 or Windows Azure AD. It is the number one kind of taxing thing to start directory synchronization. Like, I've got to go in and clean up my on-premises AD and meet all your requirements. That's something that has kind of long been a contentious thing for a lot of customers getting started. So there's a new tool. How many have heard of the tool just released about a month ago called IDFix? Only probably see a couple hands, right? So I've already installed it. This is available, and of course, if you go through the fast track process, you'll get a link to it. But it's available on Download Center. If I just go web search this, if you want to go get started right away. IDFix, simple, lightweight little tool that gets installed. But this is about taking action on those on the error that was detected by the setup tool. The setup tool said, hey, thanks, you had some stuff that wasn't totally clean. Well, let's help you actually fix that. So you can very much see our investments here are, let's give you the path, let's show you what you need to do, and now let's start building the tools where the little pain points are to actually help you be faster, be easier at fixing these. So IDFix simply is going to do an LDAP query. I'm going to start there. Pretty small directory, but easy enough for us to see. So it queried out and knew all the rules of, hey, here's all the things that need to get fixed per 365. And is pull those back and say, hey, here's the issues. Here's the value that it currently is set to. And where it can guess, it's going to tell you probably just how to remove those question marks. I have a .local domain. It doesn't really know what to do with that. But it likes me, you know, very quickly, oh, yeah, that should have been .com. Same for these others. We'll get those up and going here. Okay, you can see it removed the plus sign in this other entry. And, oh, there was some random character here that definitely wasn't supposed to be like that in AD. Okay, that's great. I can see what I need to do. Now you can see I have a few actions I can take. So I can choose to tell the tool to edit it, to say, I'm complete, or just remove this. It's actually an expected error based on my configuration, so just kind of ignore it for future. So I'm going to just quickly set these. I want to do all these, oops, as edit. I could also apply them all as edit if I wanted, one fail swoop. But let's go ahead and just hit apply. And you're about to do this. We friendly remind you, make sure you are actively changing stuff in AD. We'll talk about how we help you be extra safe in a moment. So we're going to make that change, and this gives me confirmation that that's all complete. So let's go back to our hopefully faster tool. Let's go back to users and groups. Okay, so here you can see when it last ran, account display name, last name have to be valid. So there's issues here. Let's actually click into this and say, let's rerun that check. Oop. We'll just check again. So now I've made my use ID fixed to quickly fix things. Domains is still going to fail. I didn't do anything about it. Users and groups, it's going to turn green here in a second. Because I was able to, you know, I didn't have to go spend lots of time researching, oh, what are all those attributes and figuring out a way to go sift through all the AD data. Oh, I still have more work to do, apparently. But now I can see I still have more work to do, and I didn't pass, and it's an iterative process. The other piece I wanted to come back to on ID fix, my phone starts ringing. What have you done? You've just changed something in AD. There's an undo feature. So, oh boy, what just happened? I can simply come in and say undo. We keep a set of records that when we last changed it. I can just grab that, open those. So it's going to tell me, hey, do you want to change those back? And do I want to undo that? And so I can simply roll those back relatively easily as well. So you're kind of, you know, we're taking care of you, keeping you safe, keeping you out of trouble. Should an issue crop up after you've made that switch. So let's go back over here.
Real quick here, the main reason we developed ID Fix was the biggest pain point we heard from folks like you is that it takes so long to remediate AD and get it ready for the cloud. You know, you don't ask me to do this for my on-prem environment. Why am I having to do it to get to the cloud? And so what we've done is hopefully provide a tool that allows you to not only look at DirSync and identify the areas, resolve them, but also be able to go back and undo the ones that may have been done incorrectly. So you'll find it's very easy to load. Once you have it on a domain joined machine, you'll be able to get all the information and quite simple to use.
Yeah, so just a quick, we sure already showed you the demo of it, but what is it doing? And it's going to look, it's going to be, the smarts is to, you know, hey, we have this set of things that we spell out in the service descriptions that you need to go fix. We have that logic baked into the tool. We also have some smarts from, you know, Keith's team is out doing deployments. Hey, you should just ignore things that have administrator accounts. We don't want to futz with those. We're going to be smart about where we're doing that. You know, very much, you know, it's a, you know, a IT tool built by some very smart IT folks and engineering to make this happen, make this stuff work very quickly. So, quick view, and of course we've already showed you what that looks like. And then again, it's available for download today, and you know, very easiest way is remember Fast Track, and you'll get to it. Other important piece of, you know, getting started, if you think of larger and larger organizations, even with ID Fix, can be kind of a daunting task. How can I, you know, I only want to move one one department or one geographical location. Early days of directory sync, it was kind of a binary choice. Yes, I'm going or I'm not. You have the ability now. This was one of the incremental releases we did that allows you to do OU or domain-based or user attribute filtering. So the tool now is built on FIM. We can go in and now configure filters to say, hey, I only want to get users in this geography or only users in this OU. So you can start your deployment in waves, and how can begin? And so, hey, I only need to do the AD or the ID cleanup for a given organization or given subgroup, and then I can then keep my directory sync to that limited group. Now, it has some impacts if you think of doing that. It should be a short-term thing you're doing. To build my global address list in Office 365, well, it's built on who I'm syncing here. So if I filter my sync, well, then you can expect the GAL to be shortened as well. So there's impacts, but this is this is one of the tools in your tool belt to help you be able to get started. And, most organizations kind of start in waves as you get going. Way to go ahead and get started quickly. Take that first group over who wants to. Who needs it right away for a given use case. Okay, password sync. Really cool, I hope. You're going to think this is cool. I'll call it, it really is a response to the question we heard over and over. Hey, what I really want is I just want the service to stay. I want my user to use the same password, same set of credentials, whether they're using 365 service or on-premises. So, available today, and I'm going to shout out, we'll go much deeper in a session tomorrow morning on this topic, but at a high level, think of the tool, it's baked into the DirSync tool. So we didn't add something new, we're not going to go make you install some other appliance. Hey, this is a capability we could bring to you through set of service updates. Say, hey, the service supports it, we now just need to rev the directory sync tool, and now what we can do is have a single set of credentials, same user and password, both for work on premises and 365 service. So, fully integrated into DirSync, nothing else to install here. We'll take a quick peek at this, but again, tomorrow morning session, big advertisement up there, B211, bright and early tomorrow morning. They'll go a little deeper into this tool as well. First question that usually gets asked after we show this is, well, how does this work? You just like capturing a password? Does the user have to enter the password? No. They don't need to. We don't store the password in plain text. We don't gather it in plain text. We don't ask the user to input their password. We're simply taking that information through the sync tool holding that hash or that token to be able to access the online environment. It's one way, so it's meant only to go on premises to cloud. An important piece here is now what that means is whatever policy you have in place on premises, that's the master policy. We take whatever you choose to define as the rule, because we're now just syncing, so you're responsible. And well, if you're doing this, you want to be responsible for the complexity, for the expiration policies. We essentially, on our side, we're acting as if that password never expires. What's going to happen? You manage that on premises. When your password expires on premises, we'll just sync that updated password over. So everything is driven by on-premises events. We already had that logic built in, right? We already were watching and doing syncs with identity. So is a logical place for this to land. Again, tomorrow morning session, take you a bit deeper in here. Looks like we have a few extra minutes, so I'll give you a shameless plug. How hard is that going to be, you might ask. Keith, do you wonder how hard it might be? Do you think it's going to be hard?
It's extremely easy. You simply just have to...
I think I have to click a button, right?
You just have to check a box.
I think that's all I have to do. It might be harder to find the right VM than actually do it. Here we go. Oop. It really is harder to find the VM than it is to do it.
We've actually been running this with several early adopter customers over the past couple of months, and the feedback has been outstanding. A lot of them, traditionally we're looking at ADFS or putting in Federation just to solve this need, and now with Password Sync, it's something that allows them to move forward without that.
So this is tested, and some early customers already used it. If you've done an install recently, it looks kind of the same. The only difference here is, oh, I got this new thing that talks about we're going to get to password configuration. I've already been through here. I entered my cloud identity. Super fast connection here. Should have clicked ahead one more time. It's going to ask me for my on-prem grids. I could do a hybrid the same way. And look at that. Password sync is a checkbox. So went from something that used to be really difficult, nearly impossible, or required third-party tools to do with, the tool you're already used to, if you're already one of the customers running Office 365, and we won't continue that. So tomorrow morning session, we'll go deeper and show you the rest. I'll give you the teaser demo there for tomorrow. So the other thing I just wanted to acknowledge, the other important piece, the investments we make are in the Exchange side. How do we make it easier for you to migrate mail? In the one workload we get asked about most often. We launched that about a year and a half ago at SP2. There's a major improvement in the configuration wizard. Again, in Exchange 2010 SP3, updated hybrid configuration wizard. SP3 for 2010 is the required level to be at to make to enable hybrid with Wave 15 tenant. If you're on 2013, use that wizard. So hybrid is definitely, if your mailbox is already there, recommended approach. Don't interpret this to mean, hey, if I'm in 2003 or 2007, that it must go to 2010 and it must do hybrid. Certainly an option, but you have those other migration approaches which you looked at earlier. But from our investment perspective, hey, for those customers that are already at these levels or for requirements reasons need to be here, this is going to be the best path to get that done. So let's cover off that last phase. What's in Enhance? Like, sounds like you kind of got deployment done, right? We set up dir sync, we got our passwords working, we got mail migrated, we're up and using SharePoint. Enhance is, hey, what if I actually wanted to do proper full single sign-on, ADFS. What if I wanted to do that scenario that we alluded to? I'm on Exchange 2007, but I actually want to use some of the features available in hybrid. Or I want to do line of business integration, say BCS, with SharePoint. Those are the types of scenarios you're going to see that we talk about and want you to think about doing as part of the Enhance, right? We put the foundation in place. Get the framework there, and then these are all pieces that can be layered on top of that. And ADFS is probably a great example. Been at sessions, we've done Ignite sessions around the world. There was perceptions that I had to start with ADFS if I wanted to do it. No, we can actually help you get to that path where I can be up and running with a cloud identity, take it to a synced identity, and then bring in ADFS if I want to. So it gives you those capabilities, us making those investments to help you get there faster, and then putting it in a state where you can transition those things. So I'll look at a few of those scenarios, right? Maybe I was already doing synchronized identity and I wanted to add federation. What's that approach look like? Or hybrid mail for my Exchange 2007 server. Certainly capability, there's a probably out of perspective box there. That meant I had to go get hybrid servers. I had to go get Exchange 2010, get it up and running. Definitely an Enhance. Not all pieces are equal. So really think about each and every piece there you're doing because you have a business requirement that says, hey, that's what our business needs. That's what we need to get done. So at that point, really a decision point is, what are my needs? What are my requirements? How am I going to best meet those? And that's what we're using the portion of Enhance to do. But remember, as we did the deployment, being very mindful of, hey, it's exactly, we want to put you in a state where you have the service up and going, your users are using it, and then it gives you that possibility to do it either at initial deployment time or come back months or years later, take advantage of those functionalities, take advantage of a future feature we roll out in one of our quarterly updates as well. So it gives you that capability, and that's the framework and the model we use going forward to help you be successful. And it's important to think about this, you know, because the service continues to change. We continue to drop new features in service. We'll be mindful of, hey, make sure we're deploying you in a way that makes it easy for you to take advantage of those new things as they become available. So how do you start? Does anybody guess what I'm going to tell you to do? I have a free T-shirt for someone. They can, oh, all right. There's, okay. There's this guy. We'll give him a T-shirt here. You want to? We'll say it's this guy. But actually, if you stop by the booth, everybody can get a T-shirt. We love T-shirts. So start Fast Track, right? So fasttrack.office.com, I hope you remember that. You've probably seen it a lot of times today. But it is that resource you saw leading you through that process. What is Pilot? And giving you, that guided path to, where do I go for those resources? How do I get started in very much, how do I make those transitions from step to step? That's the other important piece. As you get started, go into the pilot, assuming this isn't throwaway. And that's certainly a big mindset change for lots of people we've talked to. Like, we've all done this in the past. We used to go create, I don't know how many 365 trials I've created and, locked up all these names. Like, oh, I wish I could have that. Those things take a long time to get out. It takes lots of support calls. It'll possibly frustrate you. So be mindful of where you start. Important thing to remember that, hey, we're putting you on a path that you can continue to use this when you're ready to deploy. So begin in the right spot. Some resources to call out, our blogs. So you can certainly grab all these slides, so don't try to get all the URLs necessarily here. To follow us, stay updated on what's going on, again, our website. I'll put a shameless plug in for, we have an Exchange conference. There's a lot of this talks about mail migration. Exchange conference coming up next April as well. So imec.com, I'll call out for you. So with that, any questions, please remember to fill out a survey as well. Thanks. We'll be up here for additional questions if you have them. If not, we'll be down at the reception on the